This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Many parents of autistic children are convinced they are seeing an autism epidemic in the United States. But it's not clear whether the apparent increase is because autism has become more common or just more likely to be recognized. The federal government is funding an effort to get the first accurate count of children with autism. There are projects in 10 states. NPR's John Hamilton visited West Virginia, where researchers are finding the counting process slow and difficult.
Part of the problem is that some children with autism still aren't diagnosed. Josh Redman used to be one of those kids. He's 11 now and lives with his family in Huntington, West Virginia. On this afternoon, Josh is absorbed with one of his favorite toys, an electronic music box. His teenage sister and her friend are on the couch playing Nintendo. When Josh sees me, he slips out the door to the front porch, where he sits rocking.
Are you gonna hide, Joshy?
Vicki Lynn Redman is Josh's mother. She says strangers make Josh nervous, especially if they're holding something unfamiliar, like a microphone. She tries to get Josh back inside.
Joshy, look, there's your daddy home. He's thinking, why is that Joshy on the porch?
Redman says she knew Josh was different, even as a baby.
He was just extremely active. He could get extremely aggressive. He would claw, he would pull hair. Before I would go to a grocery store, I'd make sure he was fed, make sure he had a dry diaper on, do all the things that mommy does. And as soon as we'd hit that grocery store, he would start crying, and he would not quit until I left.
Josh didn't start talking when he should have, and he didn't play with other children. The Redmonds were living in Ohio at the time. Doctors and educators there said Josh was hyperactive, that he had something called global delay, that he might be deaf. Finally, when Josh was 6, his mother brought him to an autism specialist in West Virginia.
And within 10 minutes of her being, looking at him, she said, he's autistic. it's autism.
So the Redmonds moved here to Huntington. It's a city with good programs for autistic children and more than its share of autism history. These days, Vicki Redman works at the Autism Training Center at Marshall University. She's part of the team now trying to find out how many children in West Virginia have autism. Dr. Barbara Becker-Cottrell is in charge of that study.
We need to answer this question. We must answer this question, because without understanding how many people this affects, we really can't begin to tackle the problem itself.
Scientists need to know how many people have autism now, so they'll be able to tell whether the number is going up. If it is, that might suggest some change in the environment that's affecting children's brains. But Becker-Cottrell says trying to find every autistic child in West Virginia has turned out to be a monumental task.
It seems like, oh, sure, we can do that, until you realize all of the incredible amount of detail that you have to really pay attention to in order to do this scientifically.
For one thing, there's no central list of autistic children. Schools know about some, state programs know about others, and then there are the kids that nobody knows about. Kids like Josh Redman before he came to West Virginia.
This is not an easy diagnosis to make in the first place, because the diagnosis is made solely based on observation. There is not a test for autism. You can't get blood and detect it. You can't give a standard IQ test and say, oh yes, this is autism.
Becker-Cottrell says researchers still know relatively little about autism. It wasn't even described until the 1940s, and the public didn't hear much about it until 1988. That was the year Dustin Hoffman starred as Raymond Babbitt in the film Rain Man.
How do you know this car?
Definitely know this car. It's 1949 Buick Roadmaster, straight 8, Fireball 8. Only 8,095 production models. Dad lets me drive slow on a driveway, but not on Monday. Definitely not on Monday.
Who's your
Rain
dad?
Man is
dad.
One reason that Huntington has become a center for autism research and services. Hoffman's character was modeled in part on an autistic man who lives here. Joseph Sullivan is in his 40s now and works downtown at the Autism Services Center. Like the character in Rain Man, Sullivan can solve complex math problems in his head. But he's more interested in carrying on a conversation with himself than answering my questions about his job.
Vicki Donna Summer, Vicki Donna Summer.
Who is Vicki Donna Summer? Do you know?
Yes, just why don't you explain what you're doing there?
Vicki is the grant secretary, and Donna Summer is the queen of disco.
Can you get serious? How about you tell them what you do here at the office, okay?
Here I do
general journal entries and extended cells.
And what are those?
They're work for me to do.
Joseph Sullivan's mother, Dr. Ruth Sullivan, founded the center in Huntington and is a national figure in autism advocacy. She says that when Joseph was a child, there was no way of knowing how many autistic kids there were because they got other labels.
In those days, they were called mentally ill. And when I first moved to West Virginia, the first meeting I went to, the professional meeting, was the Association for Mental Health, the West Virginia Association for Mental Health, because children with autism were classified mentally ill.
Until the 1980s, many public schools simply turned away autistic children, leaving no official record. Sullivan says that even when those kids did get into public schools, they were often lumped into the same category as other children with special needs.
When I was lobbying for the Autism Training Center, I was trying to get statistics on how many people are in the school system. They didn't know, because it was not reportable, not a reportable event.
Barbara Becker-Cottrell of the Autism Surveillance Project says figures from schools still can't be used to count autistic children.
We may look at a child who has the label of behavior disorders, and we'll have to go through those files real carefully, because even though there's nothing that says autism in the file, we're looking at behaviors that are clearly characteristics of autism.
So today, researchers are sifting through files on every West Virginia child born in 1992 who was ever in a special education class. There are thousands. The process of spotting the ones who are truly autistic starts with trained abstractors like Julie O'Malley. They search for key phrases.
Not cuddly or affectionate with familiar people, does not respond to his or her name, ignores or disregards other people, stares blankly at other people.
It's a laborious process. When O'Malley sees any of these traits, she types key information about the child into her laptop. A single file can take hours. And abstractors must travel to each county separately and work on site. One trip took O'Malley to the state's eastern panhandle.
It was a 6-hour drive, you know, I did stay overnight. And I abstracted, I had 4 records there. And then from there on, it was 6 hours. I went to Summers County, and I did 3 records there the next day. So it was a 3-day trip, and I got to look at 7 records.
An autism expert then reviews each abstract and determines whether the child should be counted. It's not as reliable as a face-to-face examination, but confidentiality prohibits direct contact with these children or their families. Researchers expect to finish the count later this year. That should give them a pretty good fix on autism prevalence among children born in 1992. To find out whether the number is going up, they'll repeat the whole process for children born more recently. The results are likely to affect both the funding and direction of future autism research. Vicki Lynn Redman hopes the effort may one day help children like her son Josh, though he'll probably be an adult by that time. Josh is still rocking on the porch, but he peeks at me through the door from time to time.
That won't hurt you, honey. It's just a microphone.
Finally, Josh edges in to demonstrate his music box. Then he goes back outside to wait. John Hamilton, NPR News.